back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Charlie's Geekcast Presents The Adventures of Superman. Our first episode of the day is The Emerald of the Incas, Part 6, which first aired on April 12, 1940, starring Bud Collyer as Clark Kent / Superman. Enjoy!
Presenting the transcription feature, Superman!
Up in the sky! Look!
It's a bird! It's a plane! It's Superman!
And now, Superman. Superman had left the blazing inferno of Stonehouse and gone winging his way back over the Sound toward the wrecked auto gyro of the Indian priests, who had recovered the Emerald of the Incas from Dr. George Haven Beecham, world-famous scientist and explorer, and set fire to his temporary home. Remaining on the grounds of Stonehouse to watch the blaze and summon help, Dr. Beecham and his daughter Elsie had both made startling and important discoveries. As our story continues today, we find them in a small car, racing toward a distant airport, hoping against hope to get there in time. Listen.
Watch out. Here's a curve.
Elsie, you almost hit that car.
Oh, Dad, it's all right. Look here. That thing you picked up on the lawn, you hardly told me about it at all.
Providential. Simply providential. If we can only find those native priests.
Well, what'll you do?
I'll show them what I found. The sacred amulet of the head priest. Almost as sacred as the emerald itself, Elsie. Not quite, but almost.
And you really think you can bargain with it?
Only if I can get there. Only if we can make the airport before they can take off in their plane.
Dad, what will you do?
I'll return the amulet and borrow the emerald. That's all I want of it. I don't mean to keep it. I never intended that.
Dad, this emerald, is it really as important as all that?
Yes, Elsie, I've told you once, and I'll tell you again. If I can recover the Emerald of the Incas and decipher the writing carved on its base, I may have found the secret of life itself. Possibly the secret of life everlasting. Oh, hurry, dear. Faster if you can.
I'm doing my best, Dad.
We must get there in time to head them off. I tell you, we must. I wonder if that reporter Kent has found the autogyro.
Meanwhile, high over the water of the Sound, Superman wings and wheels, his marvelous telescopic eyesight piercing the blackness below for some sign of the wrecked autogyro.
I could have sworn this was the place. Just off that point with the white building. Wait. What's that? Far down below the surface. Looks like wreckage underwater. That plane was sunk deliberately. Well, the next thing to do is pay a call at the nearest station of the Coast Guard. Up! Up! That White House looks like the place. There's the signal light. And down we go, right in the front yard. Seems a shame to wake them out of a sound sleep. The chances are they keep somebody on duty all night anyway. And for the moment, I'll have to become Clark Kent. Superman might amaze even the Coast Guard.
All right, all right. What's the big rush?
Oh, I'm sorry to disturb you, but...
What is it?
I'm looking for some friends of mine who set out this afternoon in an autogyro.
Oh, in an autogyro, hey?
Yes.
You know them fellas?
Well, we're acquainted. We've met.
Well, they ain't here, but they've been picked up all right.
Oh?
Seems they had trouble and came down on the water about a mile out. Indians, wasn't they?
Oh, well, yes, more or less.
Well, if they ain't, they sure got a swell tan. Anyhow, we brought them in and they beat it.
Well, can you tell me where they've gone?
Central Airport, they said. We couldn't understand half their lingo. They don't speak English so hot.
Central Airport? You mean they've chartered another plane?
I mean they're leaving for parts unknown. They told me the time. It's just about 5 minutes from now.
5 minutes?
So unless you're figuring on getting to that airport by radio or flying there yourself, you're out of luck. It's 30 miles.
Oh, thanks. Sorry to have bothered you.
Okay. It's too bad you missed your friends, but maybe they won't take off. The barometer's fallen. Looks like dirty weather coming up. Good night.
Good night.
So you think I've missed them, sailor, eh? Well, live and learn. 5 minutes before they take off, huh? And the airport is 30 miles away. Well, you never know what you can do until you try. Here goes. Up. Up.
Dad, look, there it is. That's the airport. Oh, and there's the gate.
Elsie, what are you doing? You'll put us in the ditch.
Sorry, can't help it, Dad. I had to make that turn. Would have gone right by if I hadn't.
Look, what's that? Out there on the runway.
Well, that isn't a runway. It's a seaplane anchorage. Oh, there was a flash of light.
It's a plane. It's going up. I saw it in the flash. Elsie, stop. Stop. Help. Help. Stop that plane. Stop it.
Dad, come back. It's too late. They're moving. Oh, there's the rain. Dad, the storm.
That must be the plane. Nobody else would be taking off in weather like this. Why doesn't somebody come? Stop them. Catch them. Somebody stop them.
High over the airport, a great white seaplane rocks and slips in the sudden grip of a storm. Lightning jabs wickedly through low clouds, shows figures running wildly for shelter on the field below, shows another figure, faster than the storm itself, racing down in the wind. Superman, come just in time to meet a seaplane heading south with the Indian priests of Azatlan.
Ah, there she is. Must be. Private seaplane swinging toward the open water. And what fools to take off at a time like this. Great Scott, the lightning shows it up like daytime. Not that I need it. Sorry, gentlemen, you've got a fast ship there, but it's not quite as fast as Superman. I think we'll just put a sudden stop to that trip south. If I brought down an autogyro, shouldn't wonder if I could do the same with a seaplane. Here I come. Now then, if I dive into the cabin... What the... Great heavens, lightning. Bolt of lightning struck the plane and smashed to pieces, on fire. The men are falling into the water. If I don't catch them, they'll be drowned. Gotta get there fast. Down, down into the sea. Faster, faster!
What happened, Elsie? I couldn't see.
Oh, Dad, I don't know.
The lightning. Could you make it out, Elsie?
No, Dad, I'm not sure. It seemed as if a bolt of lightning went right through the plane, and then I didn't see anything at all.
Yes.
Here, stay under the shelter. But, Dad, good heavens, here comes Mr. Kent.
Kent? Well, Kent, what did you...
Evening, Doctor. Or rather, good morning. You got room in here for three more?
Were those men with you? The brown men, Kent, the priests.
Oh, yes. Strangest thing, I was on my way here following the autogyro when there was a flash of lightning and a seaplane went down in the sea just off the breakwater.
And you rescued them?
All but one, Doctor. The pilot was done for. The lightning bolt went right through him. But these two, well, call it luck.
Why, Kent, it's amazing.
Simply unbelievable.
Well, here we are. There's one thing I must tell you, Doctor. I had a choice.
A choice?
Yes, come over here a minute, will you? That's better. Yes, a choice. I could have saved the baggage... with whatever might have been in it. You understand, Doctor?
Yes, I understand. The emerald.
Yes, or the two priests. But I couldn't save both. It had to be one or the other.
Mr. Kent, we understand.
Human life, Miss Beecham. They've done a lot to you. Poison arrows, fire. But after all, well, there was something on their side, too. And I couldn't just sit there and let them drown.
No, Kent, of course not.
You did exactly right.
I hoped you'd think that. It's too bad about the emerald, of course. No telling where it is now.
The emerald of the Incas is gone. Forever.
Mr. Kent, one of the priests, he's coming this way.
White men, you save our lives. We of Azatlan, we thank you.
Oh, don't mention it.
You have great magic, white man. Magic greater than ours. I have seen you fly through air.
Oh, that's enough of that. Never mind the rest. There's just one thing we wanted.
We know what you want. The sacred emerald. But it is at the bottom of the great water.
And then it's all over. And if that's the case, there's no use my keeping this any longer.
What's that, Doctor?
Well, white man, where you find that?
On the lawn outside my house. It's an amulet, a priest's amulet of the Azatlan Indians. Could it, by any chance, be yours?
White man, give it to me.
Of course. Take it.
Oh,
my goodness. It seems to mean everything to him.
White man, you think you have lost, but you have not.
What?
Oh, But what does he mean?
My magic tell me you do not want emerald to steal.
No, no, of course not.
On the emerald was writing. It was writing you wish to read?
Yes, that's it. That's all I wanted it for, believe me.
Very well. Writing is here.
Dad, what does he mean? Oh, he's tapping his head.
You mean to say you'll tell me everything that was on the emerald? You can remember it?
We will do that. Every last sign on the jewel of the immortals. But no one know what it means.
Yeah, that's all right. My studies, that's what I want to do. Work it out. It may take me years. But Kent, do you hear what he says?
Dad, I can't believe it. Maybe the secret isn't lost after all.
Once my people know what writing on emerald mean, now they do not know. If you help them remember, maybe you do great good to all.
Kent, I still don't believe it. It's not possible. Why, Kent, where are you going?
Mr. Kent!
Look, the emerald's gone, but everything else is all right. And I've just remembered something. After all, I am a newspaper man. This may be the biggest story since the flood. So long, folks. I'm on my way.
And so, even though the sacred emerald of the Incas is lost to humanity forever, the secret engraved on it may yet be revealed. Undoubtedly, we will learn what progress Dr. Beecham makes at some later date. In the meantime, Clark Kent is returning to his newspaper, The Daily Planet, where, unknown to him, another exciting adventure awaits. Don't fail to tune in next time and follow the thrilling story of Superman. And remember, be sure to tune in the next thrilling installment of the amazing transcription feature, Superman.
Up in the sky, look! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's Superman!
Superman is a copyrighted feature appearing in Action Comics magazine.
Our second episode of the day is Donnelly's Protection Racket, Part 1, which first aired on April 15th, 1940. Starring Bud Collier as Clark Kent / Superman. Enjoy!
Presenting the transcription feature, Superman.
Up in the sky, look, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman.
And now, Superman, mighty visitor from another world with powers and abilities never before realized by mortal men. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound, race a speeding bullet to a target, crushed steel with his bare hands. Superman, champion of the weak and the oppressed, courageous fighter for truth and justice, who mingles with ordinary men as mild-mannered Clark Kent, reporter for the Daily Planet, a great metropolitan newspaper. As our story opens today, Clark Kent is about to leave the Daily Planet building when he is hailed by young Jimmy Olsen, a red-headed, freckle-faced copy boy who works in the editorial department of the paper. Listen.
Ted, can I see you a minute?
Hi, what's up, Jimmy? Moral on fire?
No, it's nothing to do with the paper, Mr. Kent. It's sort of personal if you're in a hurry and you haven't got time.
No, all the time in the world, Jimmy. Come into Mr. White's office. He's gone for the day. There. Now we can talk without having to shout over the racket of those typewriters and news tickers. What's on your mind, Jimmy? You look worried.
I am worried, Mr. Kent. It's about my mother.
She's sick, Jimmy?
No, she's all right. At least she's all right now.
Well, what do you mean?
I guess I'd better start from the beginning so you'll know what it's all about.
All right.
You see, my father owned a candy store on Spruce Street.
Uh-huh.
When he died 3 years ago, my mother went to work in the store and kept it running pretty good.
Oh, all by herself, eh?
Yes, but she doesn't complain. Not Mom. She wouldn't have even told me about Chip Donnelly if I hadn't caught her crying.
Chip Donnelly? The racketeer? What's he got to do with your mother in the candy store?
I'll tell you, Mr. Kent. About a month ago, a man came into the store and told my mother that unless she paid $20 a week protection money to Chip Donnelly, the store might be wrecked.
What? And has she paid him?
Yes, sir. $100 so far. And he's coming tonight for another 20.
Jimmy, are you sure Donnelly is behind this?
Absolutely. Ours isn't the only store he's taking money from. All the stores on Spruce Street pay.
Uh-huh.
The guy who comes around is Chip Donnelly's collector.
Did you say he'll be there tonight?
Yes. That's why I wanted to talk to you. Mom can't pay anyone. And why should she? This is a free country, Mr. Kent. And no crook's got a right to...
No, take it easy, Jimmy. We'll fix Mr. Donnelly. I'll get down to the store with you and meet his collector.
Gee, Mr. Kent, would you?
Sure, but remember, Jimmy, not a word about this to anyone. Rats like Dinelli must be handled privately. Now get your hat and coat. No time to waste.
Gee, thanks, Mr. Kent. I'll see you at the elevator.
Ten minutes later, Jimmy and Kent approach the candy store on Spruce Street.
This is the store, Mr. Kent. Mom's behind the counter.
Now, wait a minute, Jimmy. You say all the stores on this street pay protection money to Dinelli?
That's right. Schultz, the butcher, didn't pay last week.
Oh?
So he got a brick thrown through his window. See it right across the street?
Yes, there's not much window left. And what did the police do about it?
They couldn't do anything. They said no evidence. My mother can tell you more about that. Come on, let's go in.
All right.
Oh, what made you so late, Jimmy?
Oh, I hung around the office for a while. Mom, this is Mr. Kent. He's the best reporter on the Daily Planet.
Oh, I'm afraid Jimmy's given to exaggeration, Mrs. Olson.
Well, he's told me a lot about you, Mr. Kent. He thinks you're wonderful.
Well, nice to know that somebody does.
Mom, I told Mr. Kent about Chip Dinelli and the racket he's pulling.
Jimmy, you shouldn't have. You promised you wouldn't mention it to a soul.
Oh, it's quite all right, Mrs. Olson. I want to help you.
Oh, you can't help me. Nobody can. There's only one thing left for me to do. Give up the store.
Oh, I won't let you do that, Mom. I'll go to Chip Dinelli myself. I'll tell him.
Just a minute, Jimmy. You won't have to give up the store, Mrs. Olson. I've been up against men like Dinelli before, and I think I know how to handle them. I understand his collector is coming tonight. Well, what time does he usually arrive?
Well, he should be here any minute now.
Oh?
But, Mr. Kent, now please don't start any trouble. They said that...
I know what they said, Mrs. Olson. But don't you worry. Jimmy and I will hide behind the counter. When the collector comes in, refuse to pay him.
Oh, no, no, I can't do that. They'll do something to Jimmy if I don't pay.
No, they won't do a thing, I promise you. Just you refuse to give him the $20. I'll take care of the rest. All right, Jimmy, duck down.
What are you going to do, Mr. Kent?
Tell Mr. Dinelli's collector where he gets off.
But supposing he pulls a gun?
Well, guns don't frighten me. I mean, well, he won't pull a gun, Jimmy.
Here he comes now, Mr. Kent.
Steady, Mrs. Olson. Don't be afraid.
Okay, lady. I'll take the protection payment, $20.
Well, I'm not going to give it to you anymore.
Oh, no? Take a look across the street, lady. See what happened to Schultz's window because he didn't have protection? You want that to happen to your window?
Well, I can't pay you anymore. I haven't the money.
Don't give me that stuff. Pony up and make it fast. This is my last step, and I ain't got no time to waste.
Well, you'd better find some time because I want to talk to you.
Where'd you come from?
Behind the counter. I heard everything you said, and so did Mrs. Olson's son. Now, unless you and your crooked boss, Dinelli, want to spend some time behind bars for extortion and blackmail, you'll return every penny you took from this woman and never bother her again.
Oh, yeah? Who are you?
My name is Kent. Clark Kent. I'm a reporter for the Daily Planet.
The star reporter, too.
Shut up, you. So you're a reporter. You write pieces for the paper, huh? Well, write this one. Oh! Oh. Walk over the 20, lady.
Yes. Here it is.
So long, wise guy.
Mr. Kent. Mr. Kent. Are you all right?
I'm all right, Jimmy. Just a little surprised.
Gee, I thought he knocked you out.
No, not quite.
Oh, you see, Mr. Kent. I told you not to try to do anything. It's impossible. They're just not human.
I haven't given up, Mrs. Olson. One punch doesn't frighten me off. I'll get every cent of your money back and teach Dinelli a lesson he won't forget.
All you're doing is risking your life.
Don't you worry about that. I'll see you tomorrow, Jimmy. Good night, Mrs. Olson.
Good night.
Oh, too bad I had to take that punch in the jaw. I was itching to tear that rat apart right in the store, but it wasn't the time or the place for Superman to do his stuff. I'll just take a run over to Dinelli's place and have a little talk with him.
Here it is, Chip. 600 smackers. Like taking candy from babies. Even Schultz the butcher paid up without a squawk.
No trouble at all?
Oh, yeah, a little, but I clipped the guy and that finished it.
What guy?
Some mug that was hiding behind a counter in Olson's candy store. Said he was a newspaper reporter, but then they made Kent.
A reporter?
Yeah.
What paper, Spike?
I forget. Wait a minute. Oh, yeah, the Daily Planet.
He shouldn't have clipped him. You think I want the newspapers on my neck?
Well, what do you want me to do? Stand there and take the scuff? He was shooting his mouth off about blackmail and extortion.
All right, forget it. Tell Tony to get me a pack of cigarettes.
Okay.
Maine, 4826.
Hello?
Louis?
Yeah, what's up, boss?
Tomorrow, a newspaper called the Daily Planet may publish a story about how the stores on Spruce Street are paying me protection money.
Yeah?
I want all those papers bought up the minute they hit the stands. Every one of them. You got it?
Okay, boss.
Kip, he's here.
Who's here?
That reporter, Kip. Tell me you have him in. He's waiting in the soundproof room. Let me finish him, Jip. Let me get him out of the way.
Don't be a fool. Want to get us in a jam? I'll talk to him.
Well, you better be careful.
Don't worry, I'm always careful. Now you stay here. Hey, what is this, a gag? Nobody here?
Oh, yes, there is, Dinelli. I just thought I'd wait for you in the closet.
Hey, is somebody trying to kid me? Spike said a reporter was waiting. Not a guy in a circus outfit.
Clark Kent couldn't wait, so he asked me to keep the appointment. You'll get used to these blue tights and red cape if you keep on robbing poor shopkeepers, Dinelli.
Why, you... Get out. Get out before
I'll get out the moment you hand over the $120 you took from Mrs. Olson. And as soon as I teach you how to behave like a decent human being.
Get out or I'll plug you.
That gun won't do you a bit of good, Dinelli. Fortunately, I see this room is soundproofed.
Get back or I'll shoot.
Go ahead.
Nothing happened.
Right you are. And now it's my turn. There goes your gun.
Hey, what do you think
and
you're doing
here? You go.
Let me go.
Not until you learn an important lesson. Let's see how you bounce off the wall. Not bad at all.
Tell him me.
Not quite, Dinelli. Another bounce.
Stop. Stop, I'll do anything.
All right. Let me have $120.
Sure. Here it is.
Good. Now, this was only a sample, Dinelli. The next time you try your extortion racket, you won't walk for a month. Understand?
Yeah, I understand.
Well, then I'll leave. Through the window. Remember, Dinelli. Remember.
Spike. Spike.
I'm coming. Hey, what happened? You're all messed up.
Never mind what happened. Listen to me. You told that Olson woman. If she squealed, we'd take care of her, didn't you?
Yeah, sure.
What time did she close her store up?
10:00.
And who's with her?
Just her and her kid.
Okay. You and Tony take the big car and get down there. When she comes out of the store, teach her a lesson.
But how, Jim?
It's about time you knew how. Show her and her kid it don't pay to squeal.
Come on, get going.
Has Superman started something that even he will be unable to stop? Something that may result in injury to Mrs. Olson or Jimmy? Even now, Jip Dinelli's two henchmen are speeding to Spruce Street in a high-powered car, where they plan to wait in the darkness, ready to strike. And where is Superman? Don't miss the next thrill-packed episode. Tune in and follow the exciting story of Superman.
Up in the sky! Look! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's Superman!
Superman is a copyrighted feature appearing in Action Comics magazine.